You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, family? The Super Bowl, it is just days away. We are harping on it all week long. But let me tell you something that I hope you do not forget the rest of your sports fandom history. It's one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard. Don't let anything without a heartbeat beat you. Very simply put, make sure your effort is always top-notch. Defensive coordinator for the 49ers, what did he have to say ahead of this game? He said, look, collectively as a team, I can tell you as a defense, it's unacceptable. I wish I could tell these guys on play four, on play 27, what's going to happen. And you can see those particular plays weren't up to our standard. How are the Niners going to beat the Chiefs? I will show you better than I can tell you by playing with maximal effort. Let's get into the film room, can we? What was play four that Steve Wilks was talking about? Take a look at it. It is the Niners versus the Detroit Lions. A 42-yard touchdown on the fourth play of the game. How does it happen? It happens because of a lack of effort. Look at Bosa at the bottom of the screen. Look at Gibson at the top of the screen. Now, here's what I want you to remember. This play should be tackled at the 25-yard line where that X is. How in the world does it score? It doesn't score because the Lions were just more talented. It scored because the Niners did not play with good enough effort. Watch Bosa and watch Gibson. Now, remember what I told you. This play should be tackled at the 25-yard line. But does it get tackled at the 25? No. Instead, it goes all the way to the house. That was play four that the coach was talking about. Well, now let's cut to play 27. This was a 15-yard touchdown. Did it score because of some magnificent talent by the Lions? No, just simply watch Chase Young. This ball, it should be tackled at the six. What happens? It goes all the way to the end zone, not because of skill, not because of talent, simply because of effort. Chase Young, what are you doing? It's a championship game, family, and you're walking on camera? It's only the 27th play of the game. This isn't play 100. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, Acho, why is this so important? Well, I'll tell you why. Chiefs, Ravens, this was an effort play, y'all. Zay Flowers, get him down. Just get him down. Get him down. Just find a way to get him down. Because since they all got him down, and you can see, watch everybody get into the camera frame. Watch the Chiefs get into the camera frame. One, two, three, four Chiefs. Well, what happens, family, just four plays later? Because they tackled him in play. What happened because they gave maximal effort? Next thing you know, force fumble, keep points off the board. Chiefs win, Ravens lose. See, this game of football, it can be very, very, very complex, but it can be very simple. Who is going to give the most effort? The Niners, their coach said they got to show up. If they want to win, their defense has to show up. I got to show up to the desk to the rest of the crew. James Jones on the far end, how are we feeling, big dog?
Feeling good, my brother. We're another step closer to this game.
Another step feeling closer good. To the big one. We look like fall. Well, on the left, y'all look like fall. Definitely you know, look like,
George,
definitely look like fall.
Hey, it's cold out here in L.A.
It is.
Cold, it's rainy.
It is, absolutely. This is the brilliant Joy Taylor to my left.
What about the desk? It's cold in the desk.
It's cold in the desk, too.
We've done the show for 16 months together, and y'all still complain about the temperature inside. Eagles all-time rushing leader, LeSean Shady McCoy. That's Joy with their heated blanket. 2-5, you played in the Super Bowl. You won a Super Bowl. I cannot nor will I say that enough, because rarely on television do you actually get to talk to people who have played in the game. Who has more pressure? The Niners defense, top two in the league, or the Niners offense, top two in the league? More pressure in the Super Bowl.
I'm going with the defense, right? If you look at the 49ers, what are they known for? What's their identity, right? I don't care what the quarterback is. Jimmy G, all these other guys, right? Trey Lance, Brock Purdy. It's the defense. That's what we talk about. That's the main identity of this team, right? You talk about all these different coaches that left the Niners. Why did they leave? Because they had successful defenses, right? You look at the Salas. You look at D'Amico Ryans. Like, all these guys left because the defense did so well. And if you look at all the games that they've played where the defense played bad, right, not Brock Purdy playing bad, the defense playing bad, they lose. They lose or they about to lose. Mm-hmm. So I look at this team, it's got to be the defense. I mean, for your, I guess, the quarterback, he's always the conversation. Is he a game manager? Is he changing the game and all that? That really don't even matter because the defense sets the tone, right? If Patrick Mahomes don't score and they can't put points on the board, Brock Purdy's safe. Be safe. If it's not, you know what's going to happen. So I'm going with the defense.
It's the 49ers offense, and it should be on the 49ers offense. Mm. Kyle Shanahan is an offensive coach. He's an offensive genius. He's ranked at the top of the league every single year in head coaches. And we can't talk out of both sides of our mouth. Either Brock Purdy is that guy, and we need to put more respect on him, and he's an MVP candidate and played at a very high level, and he's, you know, doing incredible things. Is he elite? Can't talk about all that and then say it's the other side of the ball's responsibility. Mm. Is Brock Purdy that guy? Mm-hmm. Or is it on everybody else? So if we're going to set the table for excuses for this offense, then yes, more pressure is on the defense. But if more pressure is on the defense going into this game, then I don't expect much from the offense. The offense isn't the side of the ball that we should be trusting or relying on. And I don't feel like that's the narrative going into this weekend. Is he elite? Is he at the top of the league? Is he the best quarterback in the NFC? If that's the case, it's on you. Mm. And I don't want to hear about the defense. The defense has to do their job. Everyone has to do their job. We know that. We know that. It's the Super Bowl. Everyone should be playing at the highest level. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan is an offensive coach. Brock Purdy got MVP votes this year. Everyone is down everyone's throat about how serious it is and how much respect we need to put on Brock Purdy and where we need to rank him. Listen, to be clear, I don't think all the pressure should be on Brock Purdy. That's my opinion. But everyone is talking about it, so how could the pressure not be on this offense? By the way, Brock Purdy aside, Kyle Shanahan aside, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, Juszczyk. Why are we talking about the defense?
The reason I'm talking about the defense is because if I'm on the Niners defense, I got two reasons I got a lot of pressure on me. Number one, we've been outscored 51-20 in the second half the last two times we've played these dudes. Remember, we maintained a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken, of the Super Bowl. Yes, got outscored 21-0 in the Super Bowl. LeSean McCoy was on the other sideline of the Kansas City Chiefs, lost that game. Last year, week 7, Niners, Chiefs, all the eyes are on you. You just got Christian McCaffrey. You get outscored 30-10 in the second half of that game. So that's the other reason to me it's on the defense. But then I'm sitting here looking at, if you're the defense, who on offense is better than you? Pat's the quarterback. So Pat can't beat you. Other people got to beat you. Rice, you better than Ward? Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you better than Lenore? Pacheco, you better than Greenlaw? Pacheco, you better than Warner? It has to be Kelsey. It has to be Kelsey. So when I'm on my defense and I'm looking at their offense and I'm going man, mano-y-mano, who has to beat me? What I love about cover one is what we used to call that cat coverage. This cat got that cat. Who gonna beat me? Who? Who on the Chiefs offense is better than the dudes on a Niners defense? As I look at it, no one except Travis Kelce. So if you are a Niners defensive player, have some pride about yourself. Have some pride about your business. Have some pride about your work. Ward, you gonna get beat by Rice? Ward, you used to play for the Chiefs. You beat the Niners when you was on the Chiefs. You gonna get beat by Rice? Make that make sense. For me, the pressure, more of the pressure is on the defense. Could easily make an argument for the offense as well.
Yeah, Georgia almost changed my mind over here because they do got some dogs on the other side of the ball. We are all pointing at the defense. But I'm going to stick with the defense as well because what week is this?
Super Bowl week.
And we talking about effort? like for real, like we in the Super Bowl and we are talking about effort, right? So to me, the defense knows that they got to step up and have to play better than they have played the last couple. Since the Baltimore Ravens game, this defense has not looked good, right? Offense been struggling a little bit in the first half. They turn it on in the second. This defense has not looked good game in and game out, whether it's people running the ball down their throat, whatever it may be. They have not looked good on the defensive side of the ball, and now effort is showing up on the defensive side of the ball. If you play the way you have played against Jared Goff, and Jordan Love, you're going to get ran out of the building against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And I don't care how many playmakers you got on that side of the ball. Against Lamar Jackson, he had this ball for 9 minutes, touchdown drive. 7 minutes, touchdown drive. Lamar Jackson was on that sideline. So if they cannot slow down Patrick Mahomes and they cannot get Patrick Mahomes off the field, it is going to be a long day for the San Francisco 49ers. So this defense, they have their hands full. And I understand what you're saying. Man to man, they might not have better talent than the Niners got on the defense side of the ball. But Andy Reid ain't just going to have these dudes standing there.
No doubt about
it. Ready to battle against man-to-man. These dudes are going to be moving around. It's going to be motions. Andy Reid is going to try to out-scheme you. So they're going to have their hands full. And if they can't slow down Patty Mahomes, they are not going to win this football game.
So will the defense get the credit if the Niners win?
I hope so.
They're not going to. But shouldn't they?
Yes, they should.
If they play well. If they play well, if they freaking play well, finally.
So if they play well and Brock Purdy plays well, we're going to give the credit to the defense.
No, if they both play well, nah, I think Brock Purdy will get the credit. But I think the way that the Niners have to win this game, it can't be a 38-35 game. You don't try to play like you played against the Lions. Stop all that. Do what the Ravens defense did, but just hope your Niners offense shows up. You got to hold Patty and them to 17, 20, 21. If you let Patty and them do what they did against the Eagles, you're not winning that. You're not winning. I don't want Brock Purdy to try to get into a shootout with Patrick Mahomes.
Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he get in a shootout with Patrick Mahomes?
That's not what I want.
No.
Now,
it's not
I don't
what
mind.
I want either. And it's not what Niners fans want or anybody in that organization if they keep it in a buck. Nobody wants to be in a shootout with Patrick Mahomes. How's that end? Nobody gets in a shootout with Patrick Mahomes and wins that.
Mm-mm.
So, no, you don't want a shootout with Patrick Mahomes. I'm just confused as to how all season long it's on the defense, but then if anyone says anything critical about Brock Purdy or even just factual about Brock Purdy, it's hating. How could it be the defense's responsibility and the pressure on the defense, but then the quarterback we're having conversations about where we rank him in the top quarterbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. Is he similar to Joe Burrow? Is he elite? Is he the best quarterback in the NFC? And we're setting the table for it being the defense's responsibility to contain Patrick Mahomes, the best player in the league.
To me, that's the conundrum of the NFL. And I'll speak as a defender. Shady played offense. James, you played offense. The conundrum of the NFL is, wait a second. We did all this work and the quarterback gonna get the glory? I know I can speak for that from a collegiate level and from a professional level. Like, wait a second. We doing all this work. We held them to 10 points. And our quarterback led a field goal game-winning drive. And you interviewing him at the end of the game?
Yeah.
What about the defensive end that had 3 sacks? What about the defensive end that had a forced fumble? What about the defensive player that got a pick six? But you talking to him? Make sense.
Well, I understand where Joy's coming from. Because if it's Patrick Mahomes, if it's Aaron Rodgers, if it's Josh Allen, you should be talking to him. But I think that's where the frustration comes in. And I know this ain't a Purdy conversation, but that's where the frustration comes in, because when he does win, you know what I mean? We give him all this praise, even if the defense play well. And if he does lose, it's the defense fault. You know what I mean? It's kind of never on him unless it's a game like the Baltimore Ravens to where you just throw 4 interceptions and it's truly, truly clear. So I understand where she's coming from. You have all these playmakers on that side of the ball with a guru offensive mind as the offensive coordinator, but somehow 3 of us sat up here and said all the pressure is on the defense.
You know why you did that? You know why you did that?
Please tell me.
Because y'all keeping it real today. And this team is built through the defense. I'm actually very proud. It's built to the defense. We all know that. The right answer is the defense. I'm just saying the pressure should be on the offense. You have an offensive head coach who we consider to be one of the best offensive coaches in the league. Mm-hmm. You have an MVP candidate quarterback, a quarterback that legitimately played at an MVP level this year. Mm-hmm. Whatever you think he is, he's getting MVP votes. He was in that conversation for most of the season. You have Christian McCaffrey. You have Deebo Samuel. You have Ayuk. You have Kittle. You have Juszczyk. You have Trent Williams.
You got dudes.
And we're dudes, Hall of Famers. Hall of Famers, the best running back in the league. One of the best all-pro receivers. The best fullback in the league. Like, the best. Mm-hmm. On that side of the ball.
I don't think, to me, there's no wrong answer. Like, even you saying the offense, whether seriously or facetiously, I actually don't think there is a wrong answer. The only reason I truly will say the defense is, y'all have blown it the last 2 times y'all saw them. Blown it. You got 21 skunk in the Super Bowl.
What did they do this year?
Super Bowl. They haven't played them this year.
Okay, so we know every year teams are different.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the quarterback in those
Jimmy
games?
Jimmy G. But that to me has nothing that's not an indictment on the defense. Like, where I'm looking at it is
they had a whole new team, though.
But same players defensively, at least last year Chiefs game.
Okay.
I won't speak to 2019, but Warner was there. Greenlaw was there. Bosa was a rookie, so Bosa was there. But even last year's Chiefs game, that's what really gets me is like, yo, you can't let that happen. Y'all can't let that happen. You have to have some pride about yourself.
Go ahead. I just think that, like, if you look at this, the Niners team, like, what's the biggest question mark? What position?
It's quarterback.
It's the quarterback. So the pressure got to be on the defense because you already know you got a shaky quarterback. Some people think he's a game manager. Some people think he's an elite. Some people think he's just okay, right? Some people think he's the last pick in draft for a reason. Like, but with the defense, you know what you got, right? You got on both the defensive ends, you got top five picks.
Top
right?
two picks, yeah.
You go to the cornerback position, they got all pros, right? You go to the linebackers, I mean, you know what it is over there. The D-line, so the defense is what makes the Niners who they are. Even when you talk about 09 and on other years, like, that's the defense what made them. So it's hard for me to put all the pressure on Brock Purdy when, for one, I don't care how well he played this year because he played at elite level at some time. But he's still in his second year, right? It is what it is. And if you had to ask me, like, what position I'm worried about the most, it's Brock Purdy because he give you Brock Purdy that's going to give you no picks and ball out. Or he'll give you a shaky first half, right? And then second half, he makes some plays. Or the Green Bay game, he had really one good series. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So, I hear what y'all saying. I just got to go with the defense because that's what the Niners are known for.
Yeah, but my question to you guys, when is it going to be the offense or Kyle Shanahan? Like,
next year.
You know what I mean?
No, because I'm like,
next year.
Every single time the Niners have lost in a playoff game, we never hit on the offense. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when is it ever going to be like, man, Kyle Shanahan, man, you up 10 points in the fourth. Like, your play, or what? Like, when is it going to be the offense?
If you're up by 10 in the fourth, if you're up, like, I look at the 28-3 blown lead, the Atlanta Falcons Patriots, the most famous Super Bowl of them all, someone suggests. I look at that as a defensive problem. I come from a defensive perspective. I don't know Shady is an offensive player. I don't know how you look at it.
That's
but if
offense,
you're up,
that's on offense.
See, and that's what's crazy. We look at the same thing, but I'm like, bro, you up 28-3. If you don't let them score again, you win. If you let them score three more touchdowns, you win. You have to let them score 25 to take it into overtime.
As an offense, you're getting the ball back too, though.
Can you get a field goal?
Like, what you calling, coach? Like, you're getting this football back too. Like, when is it going to be on Shanahan?
That loss is, like, what's the Chargers loss last year in the playoffs?
That's
on offense.
Yeah, so.
That's on offense.
No.
Right? Like, you can't score nothing.
That's on offense.
They was up 25. They was getting strip sack, fumble. I'm like, yo, my man, why are we dropping back 50 yards throwing the ball?
28-3, you can't give us three more points on
this? It's two sides of the ball. So I don't actually even really disagree with you. I do disagree with you a little bit. But there's dogs on the other side of the ball. This is not an unbalanced team.
No, great team.
I said the names. I don't need to say it again. Like Christian McCaffrey. And there's legitimate Hall of Famers on that side of the ball.
What side of the ball is better? Statistically, they're quite literally both third.
Come on, man.
I genuinely don't know what that reaction. I don't know.
The offensive side of the ball is better.
If you take the quarterback out because it's
that's
unknown,
what I told y'all.
If you take the quarterback out because it's an unknown. How many All Pros are on the defense? How many All Pros are on the offense?
This year, one in cornerback, Fred Warner, All Pro, unanimous. Ward, All Pro, and I think just those two.
Now do the offense.
Oh, wait, the last year's defense player of the year, he didn't make All-Pro?
He didn't make All-Pro.
Oh, he started off slow a little bit.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. This year.
I mean, but we just talking about, come on, though.
Let's count him.
Okay,
let's
you count him. Bosa?
We'll count him from last year.
Okay, are you counting Hufanga?
Ooh!
Okay, so four.
Okay, so four. All right, now do the offense.
Offense.
And Ward. Did you count Ward?
Yeah, I count him four.
Were they All-Pro last year?
Yes.
Okay.
Kittle. McCaffrey.
Debo
2 years ago.
Trent.
Count Debo.
Trent.
Ayuk.
Use check.
All
pro.
I'm not counting the fullback.
What you mean he catches balls? He's the best fullback in the league. He's all pro.
He's probably the only fullback in the league.
And he's the best one.
You know, I'm saying it's probably like two.
Ravens got a fullback slot.
You're not going to count Juszczyk?
It's two fullbacks in the NFL.
Yeah,
we got
six full.
He played like eight plays a game.
No. Juszczyk probably played.
Okay, 12?
You're
getting crazy, though.
But then not only that, then now the coach has to kick in, right?
Yeah.
Then they're an all pro coach or an all world coach.
If he has coached in there,
you know what I'm saying?
So what side of the ball is better? What makes you put it on the defense is you're not sure what Brock Purdy is.
But he's your main captain on offense.
And I agree.
And then your main captain on defense is like that.
But if we're talking about sides of the ball as far as talent goes,
too,
what does that mean?
It's the same.
That means you balling. That's what
do it. Or there's a whole bunch of. Man, let me not start.
That means you played well.
So you say the Niners offense is better.
The offense is better. They got better.
You say the offense is better.
If they're not better, it's splitting hairs. There are great players on the offensive side of the ball for San Francisco. Hall of Famers, all pros, pro bowlers, Kyle Shanahan's doing everything.
It's okay.
Yeah, we said McCaffrey.
You say the defense.
Amy, I don't think it's close. I think, I mean, it is close.
It's close.
But I'm just saying, like, if you ask the owner of the Niners, he's going to take the defense. Kyle Shanahan will take the defense.
Really? Bro, I don't. Yeah. I'm generally torn. I don't like this. It's a good.
I'm okay with saying this. I'm just curious as to how a team with one of the best offensive coaches in the league, an MVP level, a quarterback that played at an MVP level, that obviously played at an MVP level this year. Period. All those other names we just listed, and it's on the defense to win this game.
I think the Niners offense will have a hard time going against the Niners defense.
But not only that.
I agree with that.
The defense, has to stop one person. That's what you're telling us.
Yes.
Hold up. What do you mean? Patrick Mahomes?
Like Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce. We didn't count.
I don't lie, though, man.
No, them young fellas can play. But
while I was watching the tape, right, the last two playoff games, because I didn't watch the Dolphins. That was play, right? The young boys stepping up.
They are.
Plays that they didn't make this season, they was making them. Communication, small things, they making them.
Yeah.
They look a different team.
Yep.
And then you got to count that one person.
Yeah.
No, not Pat. Andy Reid. Andy Reid is. See, I don't think you know how good Andy Reid really is, bro.
Right? Well, Shady, we will find out. On the other half of this break, here's the question, Shady, I need you to answer first. What would a third ring mean for Andy Reid?
Look at my boy.
There are currently 10 coaches with 2 titles each. Andy Reid is trying to join an elite group that has 3. What in the world would that mean for Andy Reid? Would that make him the greatest of all time? That's next on Speak. Don't forget, check us out.
Big Red. Fox in the Red. Channel.
Serious,
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Family, we are in second topic of the day. Now, here is a question. Andy Reid, he already has 2 Super Bowl championships, but he's back trying to get his 3rd ring and join a very exclusive club. Currently, 10 head coaches, y'all, 10 have 2 rings, but it is a very, very small list of the coaches that have 3 or more. Shady, you fight this good fight. You will die on this hill, and I will say the eulogy that Andy Reid is the best coach ever. That is what you want us to believe. But if I'm being real, Shady, he only got 2 rings. Yeah. So it is hard to convince others who didn't play with or against Andy Reid that he's the best ever. What would that 3rd, that ever elusive 3rd ring, what would it mean?
My boy, Big Red in the Red, you looking good. Listen, if Andy Reid wins this championship right here, he's the best coach in football of all time. I'm saying it, right? And now you got a list I want you to put up here, right?
Throw the list up for my guy.
Because we're going to show one guy that
3 Super Bowl rings, best ever.
So check it out for a second, right?
Best ever.
That Belichick is really stealing, though. He shouldn't be on that drink. You know what I mean? We all know why he shouldn't be up there. I won't even talk about that.
But
I'll talk about Andy Reid for a second.
Okay,
so in 20 years, right, they've never been to a conference championship game.
Who, the Chiefs?
It's the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And then the big guy in red comes and saves the day. And every year they go back. It's been a 6 straight. Can't just do that. When you talk about a dynasty, you're going to talk about the players. You're going to talk about the quarterback. You're going to talk about the head coach. Mm. There's no dynasty. There's no Patrick Mahomes without Andy Reid. Because one thing Andy Reid does, not only is he a great play caller and a great coach, he drafts these players. He had to go find Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Is that Travis? Come on, let me get Travis. That's who he is. And he can relate to these players. Andy Reid's, what, 60-something?
Yeah.
Right? You can't even tell. Because he relates to all the players. He relates to the players, he's personable, he's a great coach, and he's a winner, right? Philadelphia, I was there when Philadelphia. They weren't good before they got Andy Reid. They changed the whole franchise around. That's what he does. You drop Andy Reid, any team in America, any team, and they're going to win. Now, you do need special players to win Super Bowls.
No doubt about it.
Because you might not have a Tom Brady, right? But you're still going to win.
Glad you said that.
He ain't going to be like Belichick.
Glad you said that.
Shady, if he loses.
He's 4-12, is
it? If he loses.
If he loses.
He's 2-3 in the Super Bowl.
And he'll be back again next year.
Sure. But if he loses, is he still the greatest all-time in your mind?
I mean, I think so. I think when you ask what makes a great coach, can you relate to the players? Do players want to play for you? Do players love you? Will players go through a door for you? Yes. Teaching, right? We watched last year's Super Bowl they had, and we praised Patrick Mahomes because he had a phenomenal game. But there's some plays that they scored touchdowns that they didn't need. There was nobody defending the player.
All scheme.
Right? All scheme. So, and you take a team like the Eagles, who's a good defense, right? They set a record.
Yep.
For the most sacks. Most sacks.
Third most sacks ever.
That happens. And Andy Reid shut that down. I watched the last game when they played the Niners last year, right? They neutralized Bosa. Mm-hmm. Great pass rush last year, went defense player of the year. I couldn't find him.
Couldn't.
That's what Andy Reid is. So when you ask who the best coach of football, I want to see, are you a really good coach? Can you develop your players? Can you show growth? Can you relate? Mm-hmm. He can do all them things. When you look at that list of all them great coaches, Joey Taylor, can they answer them questions? Can they relate? Some of them can't. Can they adapt? Some of them can't. He can. Mm.
I think he's the best coach in the league right now.
That's a layup. That's like a wide open layup.
And the third ring would certainly put him in a different air of coaches.
What air? And what air is he in now?
To me, he's an all-time great coach. But to me, there is no one the best coach of all time. Because right. Belichick should be that. And he did us the great disservice of coaching for too long and showing us that he is, in fact, in my opinion, not the greatest coach of all time. But there are coaches who have done legendary things in this league and have coached for a very long time and have gone through different versions of different teams. And I don't want to just dismiss, especially when we're talking about hardware, which is what we use to measure the greatest of the greats, guys that have accomplished that. I mean, I can't just dismiss Don Shula, who has the most wins in the history of the NFL. Bill Belichick would have to coach at this rate like 3 or 4 more seasons to catch him. That's how far behind he is. And think of the amount of winning that he did over the time that he was a head coach in the NFL. That's astonishing. 347 wins for Don Shula. I can't disregard Jimmy Johnson, who is, in my opinion, one of the greatest coaches of all time. Had success in multiple places. It really revolutionized the sport when it came to trades. Was an unbelievable drafter. Hello. Mm-hmm. And developer of players, and certainly related to players. He's given speeches on halftime shows on our network that gets you ready to run through a wall. I mean, he's definitely one of those guys that relates to players. You got guys like Chuck Knoll, Joe Gibbs, Bill Walsh. So to me, it's very, very hard to just say this particular coach was the best coach in NFL history. And for a while, it was Bill Belichick, but I have to update my information with what I've seen. And I don't think he is hands down the greatest ever because of the hardware. So definitely Andy Reid would be in that conversation to me with a Bill Belichick because of the numbers, a Chuck Knoll, a Joe Gibbs, a Bill Walsh, because of what he's accomplished and the run that he's on. And maybe eventually Andy will put himself above everyone else. But again, I think I might be alone in the opinion that I don't think there is just one greatest head coach of all
time. So is Andy already in that conversation for you? Are you essentially saying it won't move Andy because he's already in the conversation for
He's already in one of the greatest. I mean, but I'm leaving out some other great names, obviously. I think there is a pretty big room of all-time great head coaches. And then there's like a little smaller section of guys that have won 3 or more that are in a different category to me.
My boy not going no small section. I mean, well, literally, he's not.
I mean, Andy Reid is one of the greatest coaches of all time, but... If he wins three, it puts him in that category. Like, Shady's over there really fighting for him as the greatest coach of all time. It puts him in that category. Yeah. Just having two of them, I know Shady loves him, he played for him and all that, but from a guy on the outside looking in, it's hard to just say, okay, this man got 6, this man got 4. You know what I'm saying? Yep. But what I do give Andy Reid a lot of credit for, which a lot of these coaches aren't able to do, is adjust with the times.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid has adjusted with the times, whether it's players, play calling, whatever it may be, he has adjusted with the times. We've seen other coaches not. So Andy Reid is a great coach, but he has to get one more ring to be able to say, hey, man, is it Bill Walsh or Andy Reid?
Yep.
Is it... Bill Belichick or Andy Reid. I think one more will put him in that conversation. I hear what all y'all saying, but Andy Reid got 3 of them and Andy Reid did this. I think one more will put him in that conversation for greatest of all time.
I'm with the left side of the table because right now you can't take Shady seriously unless you coached against Andy Reid, played against Andy Reid, or played for Andy Reid. Because Andy Reid was recruiting me, so to speak, out of college, I know Andy Reid. So I'm like, yeah, he's the greatest coach of all time. But if you're on the outside and you know nothing about ball, I can't take Shady seriously. Yeah. He got 2 chips, mm-hmm. and you're comparing him to somebody that got 6 or 4 or 3. He got 2. Then, because if I'm on the outside in, my question to Shady would be, then what's the point in playing a game? Mm-hmm. Because if the point in playing a game is to win championships, but there are coaches who have 3X the championships that Andy Reid does, and you're telling me that he is better, even though that coach that has more championships than Andy Reid has actually beat Andy Reid in a title game, that math don't math. So I think Andy Reid's third chip would really solidify your argument 2-5, or at least it would give a lot more weight to it for somebody who doesn't.
You know, I learned that people, they can easily be fooled, right? And they can believe. No, I'm being serious, though. Because, like,
I'm listening to
people who talk about how Belichick's so great. He's this and that, six championships. I keep talking about six championships. And then, but we see, I don't know if y'all want to believe it or not, but we see what he looks like without that player that got you them six championships. And that player went to win another championship, right? And we see what your franchise looked like with this player. And then this player leaves, and we see what your franchise looks like without that player. But people, don't, they don't want to believe that, right? It's like this thing where, like, if I say this, you know what I mean? Am I going to be credible for saying it? But y'all see it. Where this other coach, right, this big guy with the all red, everywhere he goes, they win.
Yeah, but
people forget that even before Patrick Mahomes, they had straight eight division title games. They did that. They accomplished this. Dudes like Alex Smith, who they said was a bust, was weak. One of my best friends, Frank Gore, when I bring his name up about Alex Smith, he got respect for him, so he won't even say anything bad or good. He's just like, yeah. He go to the Chiefs, and he's like a player again, right? The dynasty with the Chiefs. We talk, is it a dynasty? Is it a dynasty? They've been in six straight AFC championship games. You think that's easy to do? Huh?
No.
Then the same thing with the Eagles. Before they got him, they didn't even play us in like 3 or 4 years straight. Couldn't make the playoffs. They get him four to five years straight to the NFC championship game.
Yeah.
Right? Now, luckily, we didn't have the quarterback that the Patriots had. We probably won a lot of them. So it's just like when I hear these conversations, like it's more than just, oh, he got six, he's the man. He got four, no, it's more than that.
Yeah, but
I watch how a guy goes to a franchise and changes it.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm really mean this, though. If you put Andy Reid with the Texans, I think
CJ D'Amico
is doing a great job.
Yeah.
You put Andy Reid there, man, they probably in the AFC Championship game again.
But see, that's why it's tough, and I really think he needs three, because Andy Reid was with the Philadelphia Eagles for 15 years, mm-hmm. and you did not win one championship. Mm-mm. Not one. Like, if we arguing about any other coach, whether you had winning season, NFC championship, we'd be like, bruh, yeah. 15 seasons and you don't win one championship, and then you get, arguably, we had the conversation yesterday. I had him at the second greatest quarterback in NFL history, right? Some people had him at a third. You have a great player and you win Super Bowl. So we can't knock Bill for having a great player and then Andy having
it's
one.
It's a difference.
It ain't a difference because he's has a great quarterback and that's what got him over the hump.
Even if you take
15 years, one spot, no championship, and we are your greatest coach.
If Pat, I say this. This is what I'm going to say. Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback.
Yeah.
Hands down. If he don't have Andy Reid, I don't know if
I give Andy Reid credit.
Hold
up. I agree.
If he don't have Andy Reid, I don't know if he's that. I don't know if he's on that level. I'm going to say that loud.
I can agree with that.
Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's top three of all time,
yes,
in my opinion. If he don't have Andy Reid, I don't know if he's top three that fast, that soon.
Could agree with that.
Okay.
Yep.
Tom Brady, if he don't have Belichick, he's going to be a great quarterback. You said why? Why would I know that? Because we see it.
But I'm saying
that's
year 20 after Belichick has already coached this man, too, though.
Okay, other players. Is that better? Other players. I watched Andy Reid develop these other players. Tyreek Hill was a talented running back type of player. Had to learn to play wide receiver. You see him now? Andy Reid don't have nothing to do with that development, that growth. I go to every player if you want me to do that. Travis Kelce, he wasn't no dog in college. Did you know that?
Quarterback.
Did you know that? He's a quarterback.
I know what he was.
Right? Converted to a tight end. Andy Reid, you don't think he helped develop him? Mm-hmm. So when you're talking all this wild talk to me, you got to really look at the players that he's coached, the things he's done. These franchises you talk about,
yeah.
The things he did with them. You love Mike McCarthy, right?
Love him.
Started from the Packers and he went to the,
yep.
All right?
Got the same passion about Mike you got.
He ain't Andy doing Reid. Nothing like Andy Reid.
See?
Is he or isn't he? He don't do nothing like Andy Reid. You put Andy Reid, you give him them Cowboys. Ooh, you give him them Cowboys. You give him Dak Prescott because Dak Prescott is a solid good quarterback.
Yeah.
He will look different.
You can do this with other all-time great coaches.
Can we? Yes. We can't do that one in
15 years in one spot, no championship.
We can't do that with Belichick. Can we?
I'm not fighting with you about
Belichick. You said Jimmy. Jimmy's a good. He was good for a little bit.
I don't want to knock Andy Reid. I don't want to knock him at all because he's a great coach.
But you sitting here 15 years in one spot. Mike wasn't in Green Bay for 15 years before he won a championship and winning and turned that organization around. Mike was there for 3 years, 12, 12, 12, winning. So Mike knows how to win, too.
Playoffs?
Andy Reid is there for 15 years.
Are we talking playoffs?
Not one championship.
Oh, you're talking regular season. What you talking about?
I'm talking everything. You're at one place. You're this greatest coach of all time for 15 straight seasons.
Right.
You're the greatest developer, as I'm listening to Shady right now, of developing players.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened in Philadelphia for 15
answer
years.
That.
Your
answer
last
that.
Two answer seasons that. In Philadelphia, you was 8-8 and 4-12.
Let me answer that.
Answer
ready?
That, because I do need to answer
yeah.
that.
Okay, so for one, right, in my opinion, we didn't have the leader and the quarterback to do the things he's doing right now. The truth.
Had a player, number two overall pick, I believe, Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, Don was
so
good.
Special
Donovan
talent.
McNabb was really, really talented. He was really, really good. He wasn't the leader, and he wasn't the player that Aaron Rodgers is. You had your guy, Mike. If you think, you think if Aaron Rodgers played with...
we can't play the if game.
No, I'm just asking a question, though.
What's up?
For Aaron Rodgers to be so great to have only one championship, you think if he played with Andy Reid, that would
hurts
be like that? Think about that for a second. Hold on.
What it would be like.
Because a great coach, when he gets that type of quarterback, they have dynasties.
Mm.
The truth of it. Right? Everybody you want to talk about, right? Jimmy,
aren't you?
Well, they got a solid quarterback.
But a great quarterback, though, Shady.
Joe Gibbs won Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks.
You knocking Belichick and having a great quarterback, but you give Andy Reid all this credit for having a great quarterback.
We can't just disregard NFL history. We can't just be like, well, we didn't watch them coach, so we don't know how good they were or were they. Like, when does the timeline start for historic coaches being good? How far back are we going to cut it off? Like, because we didn't watch them? Like, that's weak to me.
You got
to
give them
of course, right, I mean, I'm going to do it.
Okay, but
I'm saying, like, you can't just say because this is what we see now.
We can't.
Andy Reid is an incredible all-time head coach. And I don't have a problem with you saying he's the best head coach because, again, I don't feel that there is one unequivocal, inarguable greatest coach of all time. There is a group of men that did incredible things in the NFL just because we weren't old enough to watch the dynasty of the Steelers, like, that didn't happen. He wasn't a great coach.
But how are we gonna? I mean, we gonna sit here and really talk about Gibbs like we know everything about Gibbs?
That's weak to me. We cannot just
I'm asking.
History because just,
so we can say we
Gibbs won with three different quarterbacks.
So we
talking about Andy Reid developing different players.
Who are them quarterbacks?
Joe Theismann, Doug Williams, Mark Rippon.
How good were them guys? Do we know anything about
anyone?
I'm asking y'all questions. Since y'all bringing it up. All these old people.
Patty,
Hold on. Since we had this conversation now, let me bring it up. We going back then like that. Let's talk. What do we know about them old dudes like that? I'm going to ask you a question, though.
Give me the
numbers of the quarterbacks. I had an argument for Andy Reid, and I'm giving you all type of numbers, all stats and all that, right? Experiences, players. I'm asking y'all, tell me about these old coaches and these players. What numbers do these quarterbacks have? Three quarterbacks, two bros. What numbers do they have?
What's the name of the game? To win what?
I'm asking y'all. See, now y'all want to have a conversation, so I ask y'all questions.
When did good coaching start? When did it start? What year?
I don't know.
What year are we can?
I only speak about things I can relate to, and I know about.
What do you mean? Dan Marino wasn't a good quarterback then? We don't get to count Dan Marino?
No, for me, it's not that you can't count him.
We don't count Terry Bradshaw's Super Bowls don't count?
No, I think there is discernment, at least for me. I don't like speaking a ton on things that I don't know.
That's crazy.
No,
At 1997,
let's talk
football. Okay, so let's.
No, I'm saying,
let's talk about it then.
I would rather not speak on something I don't know. I think it's wiser.
Let's qualify this conversation as to not disregard the incredible accomplishments that great coaches and great players did.
Right.
Let's not disregard what they did and say the modern NFL. Let's put the parameters around this conversation. Oh, Joe Gibbs didn't do anything. Bill Walsh didn't do anything.
I didn't say that. I'm not saying they didn't do anything, but I am personally... Mind you, I haven't spoke much in this conversation. So when I speak about a conversation, I'm going to say, look, I didn't even see it. So I'm going to couch and say, look, I'm going to start at the 90s. I usually say, like, hey, here's where I'm going to start. Here's where I'm going to move.
What part of the 90s?
You can look that up. You can watch the 90s.
How about this? Hold up. Since y'all are so, y'all know so much about all this history, tell us about it. That's what I'm saying. I told you about Andy. I told you everything about him. Tell me about these old dudes. Tell me about
why
them.
Why does it matter about
why does it matter?
Tell you about them, though. That's all I'm
Don
saying.
Shula, like, Don Shula,
even if you didn't watch them, so you
had a perfect record. The only team, 1972 oh, Dolphins.
Name me no four people beat. On that team. I'll wait. Oh, name me four guys on that team. I'll wait.
Hold on real quick. Hold on real quick.
This is insane.
So basically, okay. So basically, so what you guys are saying on that side.
I'm just saying, name me some of the guys on the team.
It's not on YouTube. It doesn't count.
Hold on real quick. Basically, what you guys are saying.
Give me your iPad, yo. Give me your iPad.
If you have never seen him play, that them dudes is not better than the dude you see. That's what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying. I will say what I'm saying so nobody has to interpret.
Please.
What I'm saying is I can't sit here and say that somebody is better than somebody else if I don't know who that somebody is.
Thank you.
Because I don't think a thorough enough argument is to say, oh, well, he won this or he won that. That's why we don't say or classify that Bill Russell. I don't say that Bill Russell's the greatest basketball player ever. If I'm talking to an OG and they say he is, I'll defer. But I can't sit here and say, yeah, well, Bill Russell won 11. With all due respect, I don't know the 11 he played in. I don't know the 11 he played against. I don't know who he played with. I don't know if the leagues were integrated fully at that time. I don't know how many teams were around back then. So there's so many caveats when I personally am having a conversation. Now, I'm not going to say they're not the greatest ever.
So when do you start?
If I was like fully interjected in this dialogue, I would probably say like, I'm going to start with the 80s. I'm going to start with the 80s.
And you watched these dudes in the 80s?
No, but I actually went back and rewatched.
You did not rewatch whole seasons. You studied like we all did. You know the history of the NFL, which is
respectable. You cannot take away from what these dudes.
If you were born in 1987, as I was, sure. I do not remember the 70s because I was not here.
Correct.
What I'm saying is we cannot, or I would prefer, I would beg, that we not just disregard what people accomplish to make room for what we're seeing now to accommodate our conversations. Andy Reid is an all-time great coach. If he wins the Super Bowl, which I'm picking him to do, he will be in a rare era of all-time great coaches. And if you want to say Andy's the best, that's fine. If you want to say Bill Walsh is the best, that's fine. If you want to say Bill Belichick is the best, we're probably going to argue with you. But at the end of the day, we can't just say we didn't see what the Steelers did with Chuck Noll, so they're not good. They're not the same as what's happening now.
I'm not saying that. This is what I'm saying to you. What I'm saying is, for you to tell me how great somebody is, tell me why they're so great, right? Give me all these different characteristics why they're so great. They got this, they got that, they coach this player, they did this, they changed this franchise. That's what I'm asking. When I'm asking about these great old coaches I keep talking about, y'all can't tell me nothing about him. But it says they won a champ. They won four rings. And he won six rings. He won three. That's the only thing I can tell me about him. So how can I say that, yo, I believe with everything y'all saying, he's a great coach because y'all telling me why? Because y'all not.
John.
Y'all not telling me why.
All right. Well, y'all can read in the book. And it's not one of the greatest. I can read it.
What I'm asking you is, tell me why he's so great.
Has the most wins of all time. He has two Super Bowls. He has a perfect season.
Who did he coach? Who's his players? I mean, that matters, though. I just told you how Andy changed so many players.
I think we got it.
Interesting.
It's really easy. If I ask you why this dude's a great player, a great coach, you can tell me why. John Madden.
How about Vince Lombardi with five titles and two?
Where did John Madden coach at? Who did he coach? You can't just throw it out there and just doesn't believe it. No. That's the problem with sports now. You tell somebody something and they hear it and they run with it. Tell me why. Jeez. I can tell you why Andy Reid is so great. I can
Bill
tell you
Walsh
why.
Bill Walsh won three Super Bowls in 10 seasons.
Who? It's getting crazy.
it's going to get crazy tomorrow because Josh Allen and Aiden Hutchinson will be joining the show. Defensive star, offensive star. We got them both on speak tomorrow. It will be jam-packed. Maybe they'll tell us who the greatest coach of all time.
Andy Reid.
We'll get a Dan Campbell in there. That's Ryan McDermott. That's next, Shaley.
About that one.
I can tell you about them.
About that one, boy. Why?
All right, family. Now, James Jones, he won a Super Bowl a little over a year ago. So you have been in the position that this young man, Brock Purdy, is about to be in. First Super Bowl experience. Invaluable insight that you can offer me because I need you to walk me through first and foremost.
Yeah.
How are the players feeling right now?
Yeah.
You know what it's like. You were here, national anthem being played. You were on the sideline before the game as the emotions were starting to set in. Tell me the feeling. How's it like, big dog? What is going through their minds right now?
Number one, for the guys that are about to play their first Super Bowl. There's nothing
Brock Purdy, listen to me, bruh. There ain't nothing Kyle Shanahan can do right now. Ain't nothing your mama can tell you. Ain't nothing nobody can tell you that is about to prepare you for this game you're about to go in. I remember going into this game, and we're about to show highlights. I didn't settle into this game really until, like, the end of this third quarter,
okay,
going into the fourth quarter.
Because there's 12:50 right now in the third quarter, and you're going to drop.
Oh, my goodness.
You're
going
to drop this ball.
You dropped the ball? I'm gone, too, Coach. Yes, I dropped it. Pretty good route. I dropped the ball
because
right
why?
Here.
Because why? Nerves? What was going through your mind?
Man, I don't want to give no excuses, but yes, nerves. The game was moving extremely fast at a very, very high level, and I dropped it. And as I, even when I did drop it, I'm like, this here ain't no regular game. Yeah. Everybody's moving faster. Aaron's throwing the football harder. The ball's coming out his hands quicker. Like, everything is sped up, and I was not settled into the game.
Okay, but later in the game, you started to get your bearings. Yeah. Now I believe it's the fourth quarter, well, 14 minutes left. Third and seven. Yeah. It's a money down. You got to have it.
Yep, yep.
Don't block the camera now, Jay. Don't get in the way of you catching the catch. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now you catch this one.
Yeah,
because when you started to get a little more comfortable, that's what you're telling me.
Yeah, scoop the ball up off the turf. And when I knew I was starting to settle in, I'm like, okay, these same routes that we've been running all year long, they working now.
Yep.
I'm still wide open. I picked this ball up off the turf. We're running up to the line, and I just gave Aaron a thumbs up like, I caught it, bro. We in this game now. And then later in this football game, as you can see, I don't even.
Let's get to the next one. Let's get to the next one. Here it is. Now it's 3 minutes, 53 seconds left.
Yeah.
28 to 23, 25. Biggest moment in the ball game. Rodgers goes back to you.
Yep. Yeah, we need it. We need it to score. The momentum was changing. I remember I'm sitting over there, you know, as the defense was on the field before this, like, okay, Ben Roethlisberger and them boys starting to roll now. We got the ball. We have to get some type of points in this game. And I was settled into this game by that. Back shoulder fade ball, get us in field goal range. And as you can see, they got me on the TV crying. You know what I'm saying? But hey, confetti started falling, you start crying.
Is there anything that Brock Purdy right now on Wednesday, roughly 96 or so hours until the Super Bowl, is there anything that he can do to settle? What would you tell your 23-year-old self that you know now?
Yeah. I would tell Brock Purdy, number one, don't let nobody tell you that this is just a regular football game. That is just another game. It is not. I remember through the playoffs, I had dislocated both my fingers, ring fingers on both hands. I had to get them shot up through the playoff run. I walk out there for the Super Bowl, and I'm catching footballs from Aaron, and I have not got my hand shot up. Pam Oliver comes up to me. She's like, how you feeling? As I'm catching the footballs, I'm like, I don't feel nothing. I said, Pam, I got to sit down. And I sat down, and I just had to take a deep breath like, this ain't no regular football game. Don't let nobody tell you your adrenaline is going to a whole other place that it ain't never been. This is the biggest moment of your career. So take a deep breath, Brock Purdy. Settle in that thing. As dudes on your team that has been there before will be able to help you. But do not, and I tell you again, do not walk into this football game listening to what everybody say. It's just a football game. It ain't. And you're going to figure that out when you walk out there on that football field for warm-up.
Let's walk back to the desk. Let's walk back to the desk. All eyes will be on 13. All eyes will be on Brock Purdy in this one. He has to show up in the biggest moment. Joy, how much do you trust Brock Purdy on Sunday?
Brock Purdy.
How much do I trust Brock Purdy? I feel like my answer would have been different after the regular season ended than now. I trust him. I think Brock Purdy is a really good quarterback. I think he's the future of the Niners. I think he's had an incredible season. What gives me pause is, at the beginning of the season this year, if I said Tua, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Brock Purdy, you would have Brock Purdy fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe at this point in the season, you might have Brock Purdy ahead of Tua, but you're probably not going to argue to the death over it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs beat Tua, and Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson.
Yes, he did.
So I'm a little nervous for Brock Purdy. If we're going to do the whole quarterback versus quarterback thing, which I'm really focusing on this Kansas City defense, which we have not talked about at all this entire week, but is a very good defense. It's played at a really high level all season long. A big part of the reason why the Chiefs
are here.
Were here. So I think I trust Brock Purdy in that I know what he's capable of. What makes me nervous is, one, the Chiefs have been on an incredible run, and they got that dude, and they got that other dude, and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. And so that makes me nervous.
2-5, how much you trust Purdy?
A good amount. I mean, he's been terrific all year, right? He has some up and down, which everybody goes through that, right? I think in the playoffs, he's made some plays. Like, he hasn't been great, though. That's why I said I trust him a good amount. He's brought his team back from a 17-point deficit, right? He had a winning drive, right? He's had some plays. He didn't throw the ball well. Okay, so I ran the ball well, right? He made some plays with his feet, with his legs. So, I mean, I think he's a good quarterback. It's just a matter of how good he's going to play against this good defense as the Chiefs. And he can't have an issue where he's throwing picks. Can't do that. They're going to lose. But if he's just playing the way he's been playing, they should have a good chance to win.
I co-sign that. I trust Brock Purdy. And the reason I trust him is I trust him to play like every other quarterback in the first Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, some people say he's top three all time. I said he's there fourth. He might be third, but Peyton Manning's ahead of him. Wherever you have him, Patrick Mahomes is great. Patrick Mahomes' first Super Bowl, Shady, you were there on the sideline. Remember his first three quarters? Not good. His fourth quarter, he showed up. Brock Purdy, this playoff run, first three quarters, first two quarters in some games, first three in another, not good. Fourth quarter, he showed up. So if Brock Purdy simply plays like Brock Purdy, or if Brock Purdy plays like Pat in his first Super Bowl, it's good enough. Just be what you've been all season long. I don't need Brock to play a perfect game. I don't need Brock to play four perfect quarters. Pat didn't. And Pat's one of the greatest ever. Nobody and this does. Was before Pat was Pat. We talked about Jalen Hurts last year. He gave up 7 points in the biggest game of his life. Now, redeemed it to some degree because they still lost by three and he gave up seven, but ended up having four touchdowns, ended up playing pretty well, all things considered. But you gave up 7 points early. It's your first Super Bowl. You fumble on a zone read? Happens. Pat, you have 145 yards in three quarters, then 141 in the fourth. It happens.
I told you, though, man. The only difference is, and you my guy, but
what happened, bro?
Jay was what you like for like
hey, no, your whole take, if they would have had it on his face, he was
like,
I was watching it, you started, I was like, like, the difference is.
Talk to me.
Oh,
and
man.
To be fair to Pat, because he didn't play well the first three quarters. Not at all.
Played bad.
But, yo, we play against Jimmy G. There's no real pressure. Three and out, cool. Ooh, Jimmy's out there, cool. Three and out, cool. Jimmy's out there. You can't do that, Brock Purdy. You can't play that bad like Pat did his first Super Bowl because you're long as Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. So I hear what you're saying. No, I just heard what you were just saying. But, Pat, you can't do that against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's that good where if you play like that, he's going to lose.
Yeah.
By a lot, too.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Jimmy G, you can do that with. You can play around. Oh, we look bad the first three quarters. You know what? Let's turn it on right now. You can't do that with Pat. By the way, he's going to have 17 points up.
That's a good point because I trust him to be Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Do not look over there and try to compete with 1-5. Mm-hmm. Do not do that. I truly believe Lamar tried to do that. Mm-hmm. You are not a pocket passer, Lamar. You get outside this pocket, which Patty can't do like you can running this football. And he stood in there like, watch this. No. What we say about Brock Purdy is he runs this system better than anybody.
I agree.
Kyle Shanahan has ever
done. I agree.
So I trust him to do that. Don't get up in this system trying to do some extra stuff, trying to compete with 1-5 over there. So I trust Brock Purdy to settle in this game and do what he's been doing.
Yeah, I don't think he has to play a perfect game.
No, nobody is going to play one.
But I don't think he can play like he's been playing these past two games at all. That I'm with Shady. That might work against Jordan Love.
Right.
Who's in that position for the first time. That might work against Dan Campbell, who am I going to kick a field goal? I don't know. I can't do math right now. Like, that Andy Reid ain't going to do that. Patrick Mahomes isn't going to do that.
I just can't
ask. And they're not going to drop no picks.
I can't and I won't ask more of Purdy than I ask from Pat, than I ask from Hurts, than I ask from any other quarterback in their first Super Bowl. That's where I'm at. Like, Pat in his first Super Bowl, and this is the great Patrick Mahomes, the great, struggled. Like, don't forget the game. Struggled. Yeah. Bad.
That pass rush got
so I just can't put a standard on Brock that I didn't have on Pat, that I didn't have on Hurts.
I mean, he had a historical season that year, and he was an MVP. And he wasn't on these MVPs this year. He was like a real MVP.
Yeah,
like,
50 tugs that year.
Yeah. Real numbers, like 50 touchdowns and all that. So I get it his first Super Bowl, but he was like ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really quick. What's a good game for Purdy? What you want to see? What's a good
Let
game
me
for
see.
Purdy?
Like a good or solid.
Good, solid game. Okay, like, okay, to win okay. the game for his team, what does Purdy have to do?
17 of 26.
17
two
of 26.
Two touchdowns, 269.
And
21,
two TDs.
And 21 rushing.
And no turnovers.
You say two what? How many?
269
passing.
269 passing. 21 rushing. 17 of 26.
Are you writing it down, right? Okay.
I just want to see.
That's a solid. That's a real solid game.
That's a solid game.
No turnovers.
No, you can't.
No,
that's more than a solid game.
Solid game. It's a good game.
Two, two, 290?
269 on purpose, 290. But remember, I think he did that. Didn't he do that against the Lions?
Oh, you said run.
Yeah, but like they dropped a lot. Like,
that's what I need from
you. You said run for 21?
Run for 21. Like, I'm not going to ask Purdy to go 33 or 40 for 383. Yeah. No.
Just so you're praying it don't turn into that type game.
It can't. That's what it's
called. It can't. But real quick,
the Chiefs' defense
is good.
They're good.
They're really good.
Another thing is, even with Patrick's first year, his first Super Bowl, I'm saying, like, our defense wasn't as good.
Not at all.
Right? So it was so much more pressure to score. That's why, I think they were up 10 with, like, 7 minutes left.
Yes.
So the defense was not as good, and Niners were moving the ball and all that. With this situation now, it's like, all right, the offense is not as good for the Chiefs, but they got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. But the defense is solid. I don't see the Niners just going up and down the field on them boys.
I know. I'm worried.
I don't know, man.
It's going to be a great one. What else is going to be great? The next segment, Crazy Work. It's America's favorite segment on television. Shady is going to highlight the special plays from special players that you have to see. The best postseason plays yet. That's next.
This is going to be not crazy, crazy, crazy work. Can we see it? I can't wait. Sweet feet. Stop, excuse me. Look at the footwork. Oh my God. That's called crazy work. Let's go. Get off of me, little boy. Did you see the moves? Left, right, left, right. Ooh. That's not given. He can run around you. He can run through you. You know, you are not catching that boy. It's a bad, bad man. That's crazy work.
The best segment on television, family. It is called Crazy Work. Shady, it's your time.
Oh, and we're live airing live. We all speak, baby. Let's get it crazy. Work segment. You know what it is. Now, this is just like the playoffs, the postseason superstar crazy work right here. You know what I mean? Not the full season, just the playoffs. Can we get to the action? Let's get straight to it, please. We're going with Mahomes, baby. Now, we know he can throw the ball, but he also can run the ball. Look, perfect. Oh, come here, excuse me. But look, Patty got a little speed, so you know. Don't let that little gut. Don't let that little gut he got show you that. You know what I mean? Don't let that fool you. What you this boy can really, really run.
He way past the line of scrimmage.
Hey, man, he's dangerous. You don't know what he's doing. That's 1-5 for you. But guess what? He didn't win.
He didn't win.
He didn't win. Who we got next? Win. He didn't win. Who number two? Brandon Ayuk, listen. Now, we love Brock Purdy. This is a great pass. I'm lying. This is a great drop, but this is a better catch. Touchdown. Ooh, now this got the game popping because they was losing at this time. Yes. Lions was supposed to win this game, but then Brandon Ayuk said, no, 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 no. I don't care where Brock Purdy threw the ball. I'm going to catch it, and I'm going to score, and we're going to win. But if you do that against the Chiefs, you will not win, and you did not win
this award.
Who's the third one? Let's get to the winner. Mr. Travis Kelce for the dub. Let's get it. Playoffs against AFC Championship game against Lamar Jackson, the Ravens. Patrick Mahomes is standing to play what he does best. Excuse me. Can't catch me. He tackled me, but I threw the ball to who? He finds Travis Kelce, Mr. Swifty. This is a great catch. Yeah, people know how hard this catch really is, though. Right? You got to find the ball. Oh, am I going to get hit? I don't know what's going to
That's a tough catch, right?
First down, and yes, they did win. Now, listen. Let me get that. This is my boy right here. Ooh. Bad pass, but better catch. Anyway, crazy work, hoodie, for my God. You done changed me, and you done made me a Swifty fan. I'm happy for you killing it on the field, but you're really killing it off the field. Anyway, Super Bowl love for Speed, crazy work, hoodie. Throw it on for your boy, Travis Kelce. You already know I know you very, very well. Hey, you know, and I'm going to send this to your brother. That's really my boy right there.
Thanks.
And we going to the hotel.
You're going to have to get a bigger size, though. You're gonna have to get a bigger side for Jay's.
And I got a beer for your brother. He likes beer. I know he likes beer.
Family, if you ain't love it, you don't love television, because that was phenomenal. When we return, there are big changes with big expectations in the NFL. The general manager of the Chargers doubled down and said he expects championships. I believe they are putting too much pressure on the Wonder Boy, Justin Herbert. We're gonna talk about it next on Speed.
On Speed.
As we celebrate Black History Month, I'd like to highlight Ernie Barnes, artist, offensive lineman, and Renaissance man. In 1959, Barnes graduated with an art degree and was drafted by the Baltimore Colts. From there, Barnes paints, draws, and plays offensive lineman for the Titans, Chargers, and Broncos, where his nickname is Big Rembrandt. Once retired, he was hired by the Jets just to paint, and by the end of the year, he launches his first exhibit in New York. His art career is prolific in production, underappreciated by the art elite, but widely seen as his work graces album covers, the credits of Good Times, prints, and Olympic posters. His most famous painting sold for $15 million, and you can see Barnes's work in galleries and museums across the country, including the Football Hall of Fame. Ernie Barnes, artist, athlete, and American icon.
Nope.
Family, we are in overtime. Jim Harbaugh introduced as a Chargers head coach just last week. He said he wants to bring multiple championships to the team. Well, then their new general manager, he doubled down on that expectation. Keep in mind, Herbert doesn't even have a playoff win in his first four seasons, and they're talking about championships, plural. Now, Joy, eager to ask you this question, because you were in Miami when LeBron James, one of the greatest ever, partnered with D-Wade and Chris Bosh and said they didn't want one, not two, not three, etc. So in my mind, you can set a bar way too high. For those that have forgotten, the Heatles lost to the Dallas Mavericks the first year they joined together, and they ended up winning two championships. But that was not what we were promised. That was not the dream. And that's also top five shooting guard of all time, top five player of all time, and a top player of the generation in Chris Bosh. And they didn't even do that. I think there's too much pressure on Justin Herbert based on all this talk. What do you say, Joy? You've been there.
Yeah. And I didn't like it when they did it. Mm. I was like, y'all haven't played not one second together. And you're talking about five, six, seven championships.
Yeah.
But he's just talking about some. here's the thing with these press conferences and why I try not to overreact too much to these types of promises, unless it's, you know, what happened with the Heatles, which was also a big production. And, you know, the fans were there. It was a little bit different. What's he supposed to say? Well, we'd really love if he could win a playoff game, you know, like if we could just get to the divisional round. You know, we'd be happy with an AFC championship game. That's kind of our standard around here. Oh, he's got to go out and say the standard is championships. That's what he has to say. They want to win at the highest level. They believe they can win at the highest level, or they wouldn't have paid him the money that they paid him.
Yes, they did.
So, and they wouldn't have brought in this coach. So I think the expectations should be championships. Will they win multiple championships? Probably not. And some of that has to do with the fact that they are in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, which is an unfortunate luck of the draw. But that doesn't mean that you can't try. Things happen. And they want to try and win championships. So I can't be too hard on them for that. Like, they want to get there. They want to win multiple championships. They can't set the bar low. Hey, we'd really like to, you know, win the division once while Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are together. That doesn't sound good.
I prefer, you know, say things that you can't hold up to. We're going to make this team a winner. You know, championships are the standard. The expectation here is championships. But to say, you know, I got a couple boys, I got four boys, I got two rings, we're going to get the other two, at least. Now you're doing too much. I remember, Shady, after y'all won your first Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs, Chris Jones was like, are we going for seven? Mm-hmm. I didn't forget that. You said you was going for seven. So then when y'all lost to the Buccaneers, I think the next year, mm-hmm. everybody was like, what happened to them seven, Chris? Because now it's 4 years later and you're just at two. And we say just at two because you said you wanted seven. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Joy, as I recall, I was a Mavericks fan. Because LeBron James promised not one, not two, not three, not four, et cetera, when you lost the first one, now it was a disappointment. If you wouldn't have said nothing, we would have probably looked at that season, man, you just got together, y'all went to the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. Now, it still would have been a disappointment because you were up 2-0, all the things. But now you've reframed the expectation so high that anything less than a championship is a disappointment. Chris Jones, how's it a disappointment now that you got two? Because you promised seven. So now that you've promised championships, Harbaugh, now that you've promised championships, Hortis, bring them. Anything less a disappointment, I think it's too much pressure, James Jones.
I don't. When LeBron James and D-Wade and Chris Bosh stood up there on that podium, wherever they was, and said one, not two, not three, not four, I'm sure we all was sitting here like, he might be right. Because we looking at all that talent that they have up there like, man, he might be right. This possibly could get done. I don't know if you were there, Shady, but when Vince Young and Michael Vick and Nnamdi Asamoah was like the dream team, right? That's what they were saying. As I'm looking at you guys get all these players, I'm like, man, they might win the whole dang thing because you're looking at talent. When you look at Justin Herbert and you see the talent he got, they believe they have the coach they have. They are talking out of pure excitement. Like, Harbaugh, we've seen you win with less and get to the Super Bowl with less, and now you have this guy who's the greatest talent that you've ever coached. We are excited. We think we could get this thing done. Not one. But two. They didn't go to three. But not one, but two. Championships. They think that they can get that done. And with his talent, I believe it's possible.
Shady, as I kick you to rock, though, I got to not push back, but elaborate on what you said, James. I don't mind as much. I'll have more grace for the 28-year-old athlete who says it. They don't know everything. They don't know the context. It was Vince Young who mentioned the Eagles were a dream team. It wasn't even Shady. It wasn't D-Jack. It wasn't Mike Vick, who was a starter. It wasn't Nnamdi Asomugha, who was the highest-paid cornerback in the league at the time. It wasn't Brent Celek. It was B.Y.
But even when Vince did say it, you believed it, right?
But I'm saying it was B.Y. Take it with a grain of salt. Chris Jones. It was Chris Jones. I think a 24-year-old defensive tackle. We coming for seven, Brady. It was LeBron James, 26 years old at the time. We talking about like a 58-year-old Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh, you know how hard it is. Now you're talking about a general manager who's been with the Ravens since, who was with the Ravens since like 2000. I just, this has gravity. It has gravity to me. 2-5, answer the question, take it to break. You think there's too much pressure on Herbert?
I'm going to say no. No, not at all. He's that good of a quarterback. He's making, what, $260 million for a reason. He's that talented. And I love what the GM is doing. He's brought in a winning coach. His time with the Niners, he did really, really well. Yeah. They've been out of what? They've been to one Super Bowl, and they've been to three straight NFC Championship games?
They were great.
That's what you want. That's what you need.
That's so what
you,
Harbaugh did?
Come on.
Harbaugh is nice.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, when you ask these questions about, like, yo, can they get it done? Yeah. I got the quarterback. He's never had a quarterback like this. I'm lying. He's never had a quarterback close to what he has with Justin Herbert. That's for one. Oh. For two, it's what?
Y'all argue
Andrew
with
Luck,
me.
Remember?
Oh, I was talking about the Niners. I was talking about the Niners.
Bad.
Yeah.
I was about to say you can't argue with.
No. And then like. So,
you can't argue. You don't know, start that derail.
He gonna bring defense. That's what he brings. He's gonna bring. I play against that defense. Oh my God, that defense is legit. He's gonna bring defense. He's gonna bring winning culture, and he's gonna bring that type of chemistry they need. And then you got the quarterback, and you got the weapons around the quarterback. So they're gonna have a shot. And everything they're doing, I love about what they're doing. They're bringing that type of winning culture there. So you, and then you talk about like the number of rings. They ain't winning no championships in ever, right? So for them to bring a guy in that can bring one or two, you gonna take that. You gonna take that. You're not gonna be thinking, yeah, you asked for four. No, we got one. You gonna stop for that.
That is fair. Well, coming up, it is my favorite conversation of the day because Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he made a bold statement about Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers that I promise will get a rise out of James.
He already one know pass what and he acted like, see, you got a boy, me. That'll be not humble,
one
dog.
Pass. He telling the truth.
Can we drop that, brother?
He telling the truth.
All right, family, we are in our hurry-up offense. Chiefs wide receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he has some high praise for his current quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. But what he said about Aaron Rodgers will have this desk in a tizzy. Take a listen.
I've played with the two best quarterbacks to ever play this game, especially when it comes to, you know, arm talent-wise. You know, obviously, Brady has all the statistics, but I think Pat's getting pretty close to, you know, breaking some of those. But when it comes to arm talent, man, between Aaron and Pat, you know, they're equal.
James Jones, is he crazy for making that statement?
No. And I'm mad at 12. I am, because he should have been back to some more Super Bowls so I could sit up here like Shady fights for Andy Reid and these dudes, that I could fight for my guy, because I always say, and I will go down in my grave saying, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest arm talent we've ever seen in the National Football League. He is that good. I don't know how good Patrick Mahomes is. MVS does. He's played with both of them. That's why he said,
ooh,
they're equal.
That, James.
You know, so with that being said, Aaron Rodgers, man, is absolutely special. He will always be my GOAT. He is something else.
That's that football,
you know what
speed.
I'm saying? Oh, it's my little son dance
what
right here,
you
too.
Run at, what did you
4-5.
Run at
4-5. 4-5. 4-5. And I got, what, 80s, 90s? They can't catch me zigzag. But arm talent-wise and just IQ-wise at the quarterback spot, Aaron Rodgers is something else.
Would you say Aaron Rodgers is an underachiever?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yes.
Good question. James, you and I had this conversation yesterday. I don't think it's crazy at all.
No.
I said when we left the desk, I think it was just me and you, I said, if somebody wanted to say Rodgers is the best ever, I won't argue.
Mm-hmm.
Talent-wise.
Yeah.
Talent-wise. You start talking about winning, nah, don't have that conversation.
Yeah, that's why I'm.
But talent-wise, which is why I'm glad MVS said at the end, arm talent, I won't argue. I played against Rodgers. I played against Brady. I played against Manning. And at a minimum, I scouted all three of them in preparation for the game. Rodgers was
12-something else.
Rodgers is.
Why do you guys always act like Tom is just not that, like, talented?
Arm talent.
But why?
Right, you asked this question.
No, because I see A-Rod. A-Rod is talented.
Rodgers' arm was stronger. Mm-hmm. Rodgers was more accurate. Rodgers could throw off any platform. Rodgers could throw off any angle. Rodgers could throw on a run. Rodgers could throw backpedaling. Brady couldn't do that. Now, Brady could win, so it don't matter all that stuff Rodgers could do.
You know what? It's just, I guess, tough for me because it's like, yo, when you go out there and you actually accomplish these things, that means something.
It does.
And I get the talent side. But like, for example, like, I look at a guy like a Tim Duncan, right? He's one of the phenomenal best players we've ever seen.
Fundamental.
But he wasn't as like, I guess, would you say talented? And y'all like arguments?
Yeah.
My thing is like
Duncan was dude.
I'm just saying he was really good, but I don't think he was super crazy talented.
And his nickname was the fundamental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So my thing is that's
everything.
That's right. Tom. Like Tom is a perfectionist. Like, everything he does is I'm gonna do it perfect.
Understandable.
The way I'm dropping back, my ball location, yeah. Right? When I'm in the pocket, what I'm looking at, the way I'm reading, how smart I am. And like that part of me is talent too.
It matters. That is talent. But when we're talking about physical talent, he ain't messing with.
So can we
go to break and come back to it? Come back to it.
It's
winning. Throw the song. Throw the music.
Is winning talent?
Winning is.
Well, winning is a talent.
Lucky too.
No. What?
Lucky.
Winning is a talent.
You need to get lucky to win. Yes, you do.
Joy, what do you make of Marquez Valdes-Scantling saying that he played with the two best quarterbacks of all time, at least arm talent wise?
Love it.
I don't hate it. That's his experience. He's only speaking to his experience. This is his opinion. Mm-hmm. I think we have this this issue in society where just because you say something, that does not make it a fact. It is your opinion.
That's true.
It is his opinion.
That's right.
We could argue with it. We could disagree.
No question.
And at the end of the day, that could still be his opinion.
Yeah.
And his opinion doesn't make a fact, so it's okay.
That's right on, though.
That's his experience. And that's your experience. Shady might feel right that experience is incorrect.
I'll probably put Dan Marino on there. He had an arm.
Woo!
Dan Marino. Yeah.
But not like platforms.
Do you want to win?
You watch Dan play?
Do you want? Yeah, he went to Pitt. I watched Dan play. Yeah, I know Dan.
You know he went to Pitt. I know about Dan.
Where you going to put Mark Starr on, James? Where you putting Mark Starr on, James?
Mark Starr up there. Hey, Super Bowl winner.
Hey, Ray's
don't play with Mark now.